Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't join us in person, you can always join our live stream at 9 a.m. You can go to our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and worship, fellowship, offer up prayers, chat with people. If you miss all those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship, and watch any of our weekly messages, our children's messages. This weekend is the weekend we celebrate Epiphany. Epiphany comes 12 days after Christmas, and it means the appearance or manifestation or the shining forth of Christ as the Messiah. Epiphany is normally associated with the wise men visiting the Christ child. Our readings today come from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and from the Gospel of Matthew. Our reading from Matthew, well, it's really a familiar story of the wise men on a quest to visit the newborn king. And as we hear these words again, I ask you to put yourself into the story. Are you like Herod, the priest, or the scribes? Or are you like the wise men bearing gifts? Let us listen for God's word for us today as we celebrate the Epiphany of Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to just come upon us, renew us, and refresh us this year. Happy New Year to all of you in Christ, and we pray, Lord, that you would just bless the reading of these words, that you would show yourself and shine your light forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60, 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They are all gathered together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall break forth to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Isaiah 60, 1 through 6. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's a familiar story if you've been reading the Bible. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have a member of our church that bought one-year Bibles. He would love to give you one. You can email me, Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll get you a Bible. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called all the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star, and they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This story has many characters: Herod, chief priests, scribes of the people, wise men, all of Jerusalem, Mary, and Joseph, and the child born to be king. Herod was a crafty and wicked king. Herod was distrustful. Well, he was untrusting. Herod was cruel and merciless. He was, he was extremely jealous. Herod had killed his brother-in-law, a wife, and several sons because of his extreme paranoia regarding his kingship. This is why all of Jerusalem was frightened when those out-of-town visitors came and showed up looking for another king. We are not told much about the chief priests or the teachers of the law, except this: they knew from the scriptures where the king of the Jews would be born. They knew he would come from Bethlehem, but they were not looking for a king at that time. There had been over 400 years of silence. Many of them had given up. It had been close to 600 years since the prophet Isaiah told the people that a light would come and shine and the glory of the Lord would rise upon them. They had read from the prophets like Isaiah and Micah, Sabbath after Sabbath. They knew a child would be born in Bethlehem to be king. I suppose after a few hundred years, they grew weary of waiting. Wise men from the east. Exactly where from the east were they from? Who were these wise men? How many were there? Matthew does not tell us, and neither do any of the other writers of the Bible. Scholars through the years have debated the facts concerning the wise men. How many wise men were there? Where was their place of origin? How did they have their ability to interpret dreams? How did they know how to follow a star and look for a king? I think the reason all these facts are left out of the text is that they are not as important as to why they came. Matthew tells us several times that they came to worship the newborn king. Listen again to the words. They say, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Homage. Boy, is that a word rarely used these days. The actual Greek word used here is proskuneo, which means to bow down or to prostrate oneself. The wise men came to bow down and kiss the feet of the newborn king. What a powerful image. Grown men, very wealthy, extremely influential, tremendously respected leaders and teachers bowing at the feet of a little babe in a manger. Their treasure chests were opened, and they offered up their gifts to that newborn king, Jesus the Messiah. In his commentary on Matthew, William Barclay records three reactions to the Messiah. The first reaction is the reaction of Herod: hatred and hostility. The second reaction is the reaction of the chief priests and scribes: total and complete indifference. And then third, the reaction of the wise men: adoring worship. Maybe a good "so what" question is, how do you respond? What is your reaction to the birth of Christ? For some, it's hatred and hostility. For some, it's total indifference. And for others, it's adoring worship. Hatred and hostility, total indifference, and adoring worship. During Advent, we've had the opportunity to open some wonderful gifts, gifts of hope, love, joy, and peace. Let me summarize. Zechariah tripped over his Advent interruption, but upon his son's birth, he proclaimed a song of hope. The redemption of Israel was at hand. Mary treasured her Advent interruption. She sang a song of joy. Joseph tumbled over his Advent interruption by trying to quietly dismiss Mary. With the help of the angel Gabriel, Joseph sings a song of love: Emmanuel, God with us. The shepherds are terrified But the angels turn terror into triumph when peace on earth is proclaimed. Glory to God in the highest. What did you get for Christmas this year? What were the gifts that you opened this Christmas? Did you open a new digital TV, a new computer, a laptop, some jewelry, a vacation? Wow. The gift my wife and I opened this year was a beautiful picture. One, we had a picture of us canvas. It was also a picture, the most beautiful picture was a picture of Jesus sitting on a rock in the wilderness. What if you really could open up the gifts of hope, love, joy, and peace? That would be so amazing. Hope. The gift of hope is mentioned 187 times in the Bible. The gift of joy is mentioned 219 times in the Bible. Love, well, it's mentioned 586 times, amazing love. And peace, 323 times. What would you do if you really could trade what you got for Christmas with these gifts, hope, love, joy, and peace? What would you make the trade with? I would trade. When Herod heard there might be a new king in town, he flew into a jealous rage. Herod's kingship was being threatened. He was going to lose its power. His influence and position were being reduced. How much are we like Herod? How do we react when our positions of power and influence are threatened? Herod responded with hatred and hostility. Do we? The chief priests and the scribes, well, they were indifferent. They were indifferent to the baby king. Herod demands to know where this new king is going to be born. They knew, but they didn't care. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. Our prayer team here at The Seed has experienced some wonderful answers to prayer. If you have a prayer concern, you can email me at Pastor Dave at The Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll pray for you. Or you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the icon for prayer, write your prayer out, and we'll respond. We want you to know that God is with you. You're not alone. I don't know what you're facing, but the Seed wants to walk along with you. Herod responded with hatred and hostility. The scribes and the chief priests, well, they're indifferent. They didn't care. I can just imagine them saying with a sigh, "Oh, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Israel, will be born, well, over there in Bethlehem, just 6 miles away." Are we like the chief priests and scribes? They were comfortable and complacent. What would you do if you knew the Messiah, the Redeemer, Restorer, and Savior of the world was going to be born, well, in the town next to you? Well, the towns next to me, Fontana, Rialto, Crestline, Corona, Ontario, Claremont, Upland, those are the towns next to me. Or even Rancho Cucamonga, it's a big town. What would I do? Better yet, what would you do if a geologist told you that there was a huge oil reservoir just 5 miles south of where you lived? These guys didn't do anything. And then after years of silence, they were totally indifferent. Are we? Was Christmas just another day to us? Bah, humbug. So you have two reactions, hatred and hostility, and total indifference. Let's talk about the wise men for just a minute. Tradition has limited the number of wise men to three because of the three gifts given by. But so many scholars say that there were thousands of people traveling in a caravan. Well, maybe if they're not a thousand, hundreds. What would make, say, 1,000 people leave their home, families, and jobs to follow a star? They went to look for a baby. Do you think people made fun of them? They're, you know, having their caravan go through a little town, and people are shouting, "Hey, where are you going?" They go, "West." "When you coming back?" "Don't know." "You're going to follow a star and give your gold, frankincense, and myrrh to a baby? What is wrong with you? What's the point? What are you going to do when you find the baby?" They answered, "We're going to worship the baby and bless him with our gifts." I wonder how our response is. We come to Epiphany this weekend. Epiphany means the appearance of the Messiah. Today we come to celebrate in that wonderful Epiphany of Christ being revealed to the Gentiles. The so what for us today is for us to figure out our own personal reaction to the birth of Jesus Christ. Are there parts of us that are, well, prideful, insecure, or jealous like Herod? I know, Pastor Dave, you're stepping on toes. Do we ever respond with hatred or hostility when things don't go our way? Are we ever like the chief priests and the scribes? We've grown indifferent to the Christmas story. I've had the opportunity to preach for over 25 years every Sunday. Wow. That means 25 Christmases, 25 Advents. Does it just get bah humbug normal? Do we just grow indifferent to the Christmas story? Have we lost the sense or the real meaning of Christmas? Maybe, perhaps, we're here today because we need a little bit of kingly wisdom infused into our lives for some very wise people. Today's story is about following, worshiping, and giving. Following, worshiping, and giving. The wise men were wise because they were wise enough to seek Jesus. The wise men were wise because they were wise enough to ask for information. Yes, I won't go into the funny jokes about men not asking for directions, but the wise men were wise enough to ask for information. They were wise enough to worship Jesus when they found him. So here's three things they were wise for. They were wise enough to seek Jesus. They were wise enough to ask for information. They were wise enough to worship Jesus when they found him. The wise men and their actions. One, they came to Jerusalem. That's verse 1. 2, in verse 2, they asked where the King of the Jews was. Again, in verse 2, they said they wanted to worship Jesus, the King of the Jews. In verse 9, it says that they went on their way. In verse 10, it says they saw the star. And also in verse 10, it says they were overjoyed. In verse 11, it says they saw the child. In verse 11, it also says that they bowed down to worship. In verse 11, they opened up their treasure chests. In verse 12, they returned home a different way. I wonder, I've been thinking of the domino effect in our life. What is the one thing that will change your life this year? What is the one thing that you have learned from the Lord? King David wrote many of the Psalms, and Psalm 62 is a song of trust in God alone. Towards the end of the psalm, verse 11 and 12, David finally affirms that he can rest peacefully because he has heard that all the power belongs to God and that the steadfast love of the Lord lasts forever. Let me read Psalm 62, verse 11 and 12. One thing God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God and steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay all according to their work. So my so what question this week is, what is the one thing that you have heard from the Lord? Another good so what question is, what is the one thing that you are asking of the Lord? The shepherd boy who wrote Psalm 23 also wrote Psalm 27, and he writes about the one thing. He asked for one thing. Listen to what it says in Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5. One thing I asked of the Lord, this is what I'll seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. One thing the shepherd boy David asked of the Lord is to live in the house of the Lord. One thing King David would seek after is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. What is the one thing that you need? In the Gospel of Luke, we are told the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus comes to visit their home, and Martha is busy, 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 working, cleaning, preparing, planning, cooking. Well, and she's setting up for the occasion, and that she misses the one thing. Listen again to Luke chapter 10, verses 40 and 42. But Martha was distracted by many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord Jesus answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which is not to be taken from her. Martha missed the one thing. Paul, when he was sitting in prison in Rome, waiting for his own death by execution, he writes a letter to the church in Philippi called Philippians. In chapter 3, he writes these words, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this, but somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider what I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:10 and 14. Wow, can you picture the scene? Paul sitting in prison saying, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to have a death like his so that I can have a life like his. I haven't made it. I haven't reached that goal. But the one thing that I'll do is to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. Paul was at the end of his life. He understood what kind of foundation that he was going to build upon. Paul understood that knowing Christ, living in the power of the resurrection, would bring him life and life eternally. There's another story about the one thing, the story of the rich man in Mark 10. It's a powerful story of the call to follow Christ. I believe that Christ is calling us all to follow him and not be so concerned with what we can do, but what we can do. With man, this is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Verse 17 of Mark 10 says, as he was setting up on a journey, a man ran up to him, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good, but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother, he said to him. Teacher, I've kept all these things since my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you'll have the treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were perplexed at the words, but Jesus said to them again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. So your so what? So what of the wise men comes down to three directions: follow, worship, and give. They followed a star. They knelt down to worship the Christ child. They gave their best gifts. So what for us? And we follow, worship, and give. I encourage you to read a chapter of a gospel every day. Just one chapter. Start with Matthew and see what God will do. Follow Jesus. May you have an epiphany this year. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to graciously shine upon you. God loves you. God bless. Amen.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.